I have a few questions that I'd like to ask as we begin our time in the Word this morning. And some of them you may not appreciate so much. In fact, like this first one, anybody, and I guess I'm not going to ask for hands, but all of our hands. Anyhow, anyone ever caught doing something wrong? Maybe I should ask it this way. Anyone never caught doing something wrong? That's not good, because getting caught actually is a necessary consequence lest we are never corrected, yes? I'll share one little peek, and most of you know that I had a real wild life I think it was Memorial Day weekend, when I was not yet I was probably 15, so I was out, let's say after curfew downtown with a couple of friends. We decided to go from one guy's house to the next, and it took us right through the middle of town. In fact, if you've gone into Grants Pass, and you see, it's the climate sign that goes across. It's right at the railroad tracks there. It was about that point, we were crossing the tracks, that our Grants Pass finest happened to spy us and picked us up and hauled us to the station for being out after curfew. And my mom got after midnight. It was probably, I don't know, 1 or so in the morning call, and had to come and pick me up from the police station. There's more to that story, but I'll so I'll admit to right now. But last week we looked at Jesus, the light of the world. Do you remember? Anybody remember? The light of the world, the light of life. And he spoke life and forgiveness to the woman, remember, caught in adultery. And she was caught doing something wrong. She was caught in the act, the scripture says, and had to be literally thinking that her life, I mean, she was caught by the religious leaders. She knew what was coming, and she knew what the law was. So she knew that it was something that she was guilty of, and you know, I'm just wondering sometimes that whether you've ever felt, it's not so much as we ever, it's more recently, have we ever felt like this is it, you know, my life is over, things could not get any worse. I've really messed things up. She is feeling shamed. She is feeling condemned to death. But instead of receiving what she deserved, she gets forgiveness. Her darkness is literally turned to light. Yes? Psalm 18 says this. This is verses 28 and 29. It says, "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light." I'm going to read that again. "You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall." I think they're coming. This morning, I want to do what I'm calling a follow-up message. I just, all week long, just the word of the Lord that Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And yet I can't help but feel that even not just for the lives of those in the world that don't know the light of the world, but even for those of us who believe that Jesus is the light of the world, experience way too much darkness and allow way too much darkness to rule and reign or to even have a place, you know, even just a corner of our lives. And I just, it's one of those things that during the beginning of the week, I'm just, I don't know if I want to say consumed by that, but certainly gripped by. And so I just want to address that this morning and pray that the light of Jesus would not only, it would not be just only a true statement that we know about Jesus, but that it would be a true reality that we are experiencing day in and day out, even when the lights seem to go out, which is the title of the message this morning. Lord Jesus, I would pray this morning that when the lights appear to go out at times in our life or at in portions of our lives, God, that there would be this morning fresh revelation, Lord, fresh insight, fresh understanding, a new awareness, and Lord, a commitment to embracing your light in all arenas of our lives. And that, God, we would not let darkness have any place in our lives, but allow your light. We are children of the light. Lord, we are, as you called us, we are lights of the world. We want to reflect the light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119 says this: Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Can we say that verse together? Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Of course, that's the NIV version. If you're like me, I memorized it years and years ago in King James. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's the same thing, but I'm going to actually read it a little bit later in a different translation yet. But I asked if we've ever been caught doing something wrong. How about being caught in the dark? You ever get caught, either the lights on your vehicle? I remember one time I had this was a few years back, helping a guy subbing for a paper route. I think it was an Oregonian paper route in the outskirts of Vancouver, Washington, and the wee hours, like 2 or 3 o'clock on Sunday morning before church, and the lights on my pickup go out. And so I have to do the whole route out in the country with my flashers on. Here, I'll tell you another one. This is my first, a lot of you know that I was a youth pastor and did a lot of crazy things with bike trips and camping and backpacking trips. My very first bike overnight bike trip was, the plan was to leave Vancouver, Washington. We left sometime in the afternoon. The idea was to go up to some friends that had a ranch in Sandy, and we would camp along the Sandy River across the street from their house. And so we take off, all is going well until it starts just one of those summer downpours, and we're all drenched. I remember finding an overpass and staying there for a while and trying to dry out a little bit. And of course the sun is sinking lower and lower. And so we thought, you know, we would have been, and should have been, to our destination, but I think somebody got a flat tire, and it was just one thing after another. About the time we get to Sandy, and it's just beyond Sandy, it was dark, and of course we're leaving the lights of Sandy, and then we're going down as would be Sleepy Hollow Drive. True story. And all of a sudden, okay guys, break out the flashlights. Not one of us had a flashlight. I'm going, come on. course, they're saying something to me. And one guy had a generator light that worked kind of, as long as we were going fast. The worst part was getting, we finally found the trail to where we were supposed to go down to the river. And now it's, of course, the trail you can't ride your bike down. We're kind of, so picture this. He is, those of you that know Sheldon Russell, he is holding his bike and pedaling. I've often told him, I wish I had a video of that. Needless to say, I carry a flashlight most places these days. But sometimes things in our life happen unexpectedly and without warning, without notice, that just seem to, it's like, cause the lights to go out. And it can be, you know, it can be just even just the news of a family that gets tragically, you know, that is tragically killed. Or, you know, it could, a number of things. A loss of a job. The news. I remember when Karen and I got the news of Kimber being life flighted. I mean, those things, you know, they just, boom, they just hit you. You get a test result back. There's a spot. Doctor wants to do a biopsy. I mean, it literally, sometimes you just feel like you're blindsided and all you see is nothing. Maybe stars at the best. But what causes, besides those major things, what else causes the lights to go out? Sometimes it doesn't take much at all. I mean, the big things, you know, you can't see your hand in front of your face. You know, the big things, it just seems like, wow, this is too much. There's this, I know God is God, but this is just hard. This is not right. But sometimes it doesn't take much at all. Even just a memory of something in the past, a past failure, or a past mistake, or a wrong decision. It could be, am I the only one that just, you know, you'll have a thought of, you'll look back and it just becomes like there's a darkness or there's a heaviness. Something that just wants to consume. And I was thinking, so what grows? What grows in the dark? I actually did a little research, and scientists are trying to mess with things, and they've got this little plant that somehow, but there are things that grow in the dark. What's that? Okay, mushrooms. But I'm thinking of stuff that aren't alive. I'm thinking of things like fear grows in the dark. So yeah, there are. I didn't give enough time to allow for. But I'm thinking things like fear and doubt. You know, in the dark, those things just they thrive on it. Despair, condemnation, shame, you know, those things that just the more that they're allowed to remain in the dark, they just exponential growth. There's a scripture out of Psalm 46 that says this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains surge. And the mountains quake with their surging. Of a number of scriptures that come out of the psalm this morning, and I just, if there is a place, I mean, Union, Psalm 119 is a big chapter. It's a back to Psalm 119:105, where your word is a lamp and a light. That's a big chapter. Do you know that in that psalm, and you should check this, you should see if this is correct. There are 176 verses in that psalm. It is definitely the longest chapter. If you want the Reader's Digest version of Psalm 119, read 19. Psalm 19, not near as long, but it's amazing the correlation. But in Psalm 119, there are only 5 verses that don't in some way reference the Word of God, that refer directly about God's Word. Psalm 46 is just one of many. In fact, the end of Psalm 46 says this. Grab the beginning of the verse here. Be still and know that I am God. I think sometimes one of the best things we can do when it gets dark, because what happens when, there was one time when Karen and I were in Hawaii, I think the only time I've been on Oahu, I've been to Hawaii twice, right? Yes. And I wanted to go up to the top of Diamond Head, and we just had a short time, and so I thought, I'm gonna jet up there real quick. Karen was gonna wait, and I'll be right back. And I remember seeing something about stopping and getting a flashlight. Anybody ever been up to Diamond Head? Something about getting a flashlight, but the line was long, and there I go again without, yes. Yeah, what am I? Good thing we don't have so much time this morning. But you know, I get in there. Fortunately, there were some people close by, and I was able to. But it gets in those little lava tubes or little tunnels there on the way up. It gets real black real quick. And the worst part is that the path isn't just straight and all padded. It's it's like jagged and lava, you know, things that. It's a wonder I didn't come out of there all bloodied. But where was I going with that? Thank you. That's it, exactly. When you get in dark, sometimes the best thing a person can do is just be still and know that I am God and be aware of, okay, God, until my eyes adjust. And I just, that's why I chose the little lamp. You don't, it kind of gets lost in the light there, but it's just an old-fashioned oil lamp. And allow even the little bit of light that God might be sending your way to begin to, I don't see very far, and that's, of course, the whole picture of Psalm 119:105 is that God often, most often, only gives us enough light for the next step. Trouble is, I want to see, before I head down that way, I want to, where are we going, Lord? And God says, this is a walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to give you enough light for the next step and the next step. Bill, when you go to the Camino here in a month or so, are you taking a flashlight? 11? That's right. It's next week. Yeah, but who's counting? Most of you know Bill and his sister. They're going to Spain to do the Camino, what do they call that, Camino de Santiago? Yeah. So a 500. Psalm 27 says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You know, it's I think these some of these verses are not intended to just be read. I know that they are intended to be declared. The Lord, you're my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let me read the next couple of verses. I don't have them on the front there. But when the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. So when the lights go out, what shall we do? Yeah. And they were amazed. Who is this God? He can do stuff if we will take the time to just stop and say, okay, Lord. And so the answer to my question is what do? You light the torch or allow, the English call flashlights, I understand. The torch. When the lights go out, when the lights go out on the inside, you know, go to the Word. God's Word, I'm told, is very powerful. It has many lumens. I'm not going to shine anybody's eyes, but it does. The Word says, in fact, this is Psalm 19 that I mentioned that compares to 119. It says it gives light to the eyes. God's word is radiant. The commands of the Lord are radiant, it says, giving light to the eyes. And it's just, there's just times when we don't understand, and there are often times where we're just not going to understand. But if we have hope of getting insight, if nothing else, it prevents our mind from distorting and making assumptions. Get into the Word. God, what does your Word say? What does your Word say? If I'm left to leaning on my own understanding, I'm gonna miss it. I'm gonna distort something. I'm gonna get something not quite right. But what does your Word say? And give God the opportunity to illuminate. Here's the Message translation of the verses, the Psalm 119 and a few verses following. By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. Now, sometimes that beam, like I said, doesn't shine way down the path, but the idea is that there is a clear viewing for at least the next step. I've committed myself and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. I've committed myself and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. Everything's falling apart on me. God, put me together again with your word. I like that. Everything looks like it's coming unraveled. It's like the wheels have fallen off, as we would say. Put me together again, but with your word, God. Festoon me with your finest sayings, God. A festoon would be dress up, or I even like confetti coming down. I mean, just like showering you with with your finest sayings. I like that. Your finest sayings. God, teach me your holy rules. My life is as close as my own hands. The idea is, I think NIV says, though I tend to take things into my own hands, but I don't forget what you have revealed. The wicked do their best to throw me off track, but I don't swerve an inch from your course. It's a scripture in Genesis. In fact, God's talking to Cain. You know, sin desires to master you. The enemy desires to rule in your life. The literal, not just to devour, to derail. I like what he says. I will not swerve an inch from your course. I inherited your book on living. It's mine forever. What a gift! And how happy it makes me. I concentrate on doing exactly what you say. I always have and always will. What have you committed yourself to? If I were to ask, are you, you know, is God's word important? Of course. Are you committed to God's word? Absolutely. Are you? I even asking myself that question. Am I really, if in the midst of stuff that's going on, am I making the commitment to just letting that have reign and priority in my life? Or am I committed, God, even though if I can't see quite as clearly as I really want to, am I committed to your word? Am I grabbing onto your word and holding onto it, knowing that at some point you will make things clearer? Or even if you don't make things clearer, I'm committed to your word completely. That's a good question to not just answer, or you know, but to ask oneself again and again and answer, yes, I am, God, and hear yourself say, I am committed to your word.
In Psalm 119, I believe it's 10 to 12.
One of the first that I would have memorized too is that, just the 11th verse. But your word, as you said, if I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin, that I might not allow darkness to rule and to reign. I really believe that there's times in our lives where we say, today is the day I am not going to let darkness, I'm not going to let this area rule and reign. I'm committed to your word and to your ways, to your truth, to your promises. I'm not going to give way to that fear, or to that temptation, or to that area that wants to, that stronghold in my life. And when the enemy, in fact, I think Karen prayed some of this when in her prayer this morning, but because the enemy does come in like a flood. It's not if the enemy comes in like a flood, it's when the enemy comes in like a flood. And to devastate, to wipe out, to make the lights go out, if you will. The scripture goes on to say, but the Lord will raise up a standard. But there is a part that we play in that, to call upon the name of the Lord and to wait for that standard to be raised, for God to provide what he needs and wants to provide. So when the darkness comes in suddenly, when the lights go out, or seemingly go out unexpectedly, you know, light a candle. Let, as just see that, I see that the I've seen the video of the woman that's you know, they're talking about whether they're going to stone her or not, and she's, you know, she's on her face. She's just like, this is it. Any moment now, boom. I mean, she can feel the stones coming. I would imagine, and she's down, and then it's like, instead, Jesus reaches down and turns that darkness into light. And it's like, I mean, she's got to be wondering, am I still alive? Am I still alive? And then realizing, as she looks up, and all the accusers are gone. Literally, Jesus turned her darkness into light. And that's what I believe, that God is, you know, not just in the big things, but in the little things, that if we will, you know, look to Him and depend upon the Word and get into the Word. You know, God, what are your promises? What have I committed to memory? What have I hidden in my heart that I might not just sin against you, but that I might not allow darkness to rule and to reign and to have a more important place than it ought to? So I'm inviting you this morning to just recommit, or maybe for the first time, you know, make a commitment to turn on the light of the Word, to say, I will live by faith. I'm not given to just living by sight. And when things go dark, that I'm just, there's no hope. All is lost. And just allow the despair and kind of, you know, sink into a black hole, if you will. But I will live by faith. I will live by faith. When feelings of condemnation, remembering there is now no condemnation. Now, when despair, I'm thinking of Job, you know, in the midst, if there's a guy that deserved or warranted, let me say it this way, if he was justified in his despair, it would seem like it would be Job. Lost everything that he had, including his kids, everything but his wife. And he says, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, I'm going to bless the Lord. I mean, and I'm sure there wasn't that excitement and a spring in his step as he did it, but it was a declaration. I will bless the Lord. Talk about dispelling despair. Talk about lighting a candle. Talk about allowing light to come into a dark place. I read, you know, in the midst of fear, the Lord is my light. How about even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? There's a dark place, but remembering that God is still with you. God is taking you through, not leaving you there. And just one last one, when we're tempted, you know, just the scripture that just talks about God's promise not to give us so great a temptation that he doesn't provide a way out, and that we would choose that way out. Can we just pray? Lord Jesus, this morning, we declare that we are committed to your word. We will live by faith. And we will not let darkness have dominion over our lives. Instead, we invite the light of your word to light our paths. We're so grateful, Lord, even though we don't understand a lot of things, and there are a lot of things that bring pain and grief, but we're grateful, Lord, that your word is not just a source of comfort. It's not just comfort food. Lord, it's life. Life. It brings light to our eyes, gladness to our hearts, Lord, hope, encouragement, and strength. Lord, strengthen our faith through the power of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yeah, this would be a good time if you if you're not in a hurry, and yeah, that's right. That's right. Visit Diamond Head. Don't forget your flashlight. Okay, you're better prepared than me. Yes. So. Yeah, so Joe and Leela, come in. I know Joe's not going with you, but he is in spirit. Yeah, which island?
Hilo.